Zol the Gemara, Daf Nun Hey Omid Beis. We learned the Mishnah yesterday. Let's begin immediately with the Gemara. Neima Masnisin Rebbe Hi V'loy Rabbono. Let us suggest that our Mishnah only fits in with the opinion of Rebbe and not with the Rabbonon. As we've mentioned many, many times, whenever we say the word Neima, let us suggest, you always have to expect there's going to be a refutation. Neima means not Muchat. That's what it sounds like, but the Gemara is soon going to refute it. So let us suggest that our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rebbe and not the Rabbonon. Why? Titania, because we learned in a Braisa, Par. Remember we said that on Shmini Atzeres it's just one singular Par, as opposed to the preceding 7 days on Sukkah, so you have 13, 12, all the way down to 7. So that Par, Habol B'Shmini, B'Tchilo Mefaisdin Oilom. When they bring that Par on the Yom HaShmini, before they bring it, the Tchil, in the beginning, they do a Pius. They do a Goyro. Divrei Rebbe. That is the opinion of Rebbe. V'chachomim mo'emreim, that no. Achas mishtei mishmorois deloi shilshu v'parim. One of the two groups that didn't have a third term to do the parim. Remember yesterday we made the cheshbon, the 70 karbonis. 72 groups if you have them all going three times, which means two fall short. So the Rabbanon say that you don't do a pius. Rather, fair is fair. Who should get the par? One of the two groups, Shaloi Shilshu, who never had a third go, but Parim, Oysa, Oysa, they will do it. So, we seem to have a machlokes between Rebbe and the Chachomim. Do you do a pius, a pious? Which means that any one of the 24 Mishmores could end up being Zeicha to do the Par on Shmini Atzeres, or according to the Chachomim, no, you did not do a pious, rather you gave it to one of the two remaining groups. Now, what did we say now, the last line of our Mishnah? Bishmini Chazru Lepayis Kibur Agolim. It said quite clearly in our Mishnah that on Shmini Atzeres you did do a pious, therefore that's why the Gemara is suggesting this seems to be that it only fits with the opinion of who? It only seems to fit in with the opinion of Rebbe, not the Rabbanon. Why? Because Rebbe was the one who said that you do a pious on Shmini Atzeres, and the Chachamim seems to say that you don't. So if our Mishnah says that you do, that would only fit in with the opinion of Rebbe. Says the Gemara, no. Afilu Tema Rabbonon. Even if you want to say that our Mishnah is the Rabbonon, it would still fit in. Why? Because when the Rabbonon said, who gets the final room, who gets this Par on Shmini Atzeres?
One of the two.
One of the two groups. But which one?
Do a pious.
So you've got to do a pious for that. Otsu, says the Gemara, Shtei Mishmorais, these two groups, Lo Yafusei Bo'i, They don't need a goyrel. So it's true. There is a machloikas between Rebbe and the Rabbanon to the extent of the goyrel. But everybody agrees you're doing a goyrel. So for our Mishnah, which says you do a goyrel and didn't get involved in the extent of the goyrel, is therefore not necessarily conclusive proof that we're going with Rebbe. We could quite happily suggest that we're going with the Rabbanon. And when it says in the Mishnah you do a goyrel, what it means is, you don't put 24 names in the hat, rather, you just put two. Says the Gemara, says Rashi, Lema masnisin dektoni b'shmini choizrim lepayis kibur golim. Our Mishnah, which stated that on the Shmini you go back to doing the pious kibur golim, the kostal kadate. Now, we like that word in Rashi, because that always means that what?
Change.
That's a Havar Mena. Soon it's going to change. Which is exactly, of course, what was going on in the Gemara. The Gemara said, Lema, and then we refuted it. So, Kosal Kedati, our initial understanding of the Mishnah was, the Kol HaMishmore's voice. Underline the word Kol. In other words, the initial understanding, that's really what changed from the Havar Mena to the Maskana. How do we understand in a Havar Mena? So what does the Mishnah say when you do a pious? Who for?
All 24.
The Kol Mishmaros Ba'os Umafisos. We understood in the beginning that means everybody does the pious. That must be Rebbe. The Loi Rabbanon.
Why? Because it says in the Brayse, it says Rashi betchila mafis and olav kol again on the line kol hamishmoris. Rebbe says that all 24 names go in the hat ki'ilu hu tchilas karbonis, if you're beginning afresh. In other words, we pay no attention to whatever happened in the seven preceding days. It's a brand new Yom Tov. You start all over again, according to Rebbe. The loyom rinon, according to Rebbe. We do not say likrevu chad. Let one sacrifice, one of who? Mehanach of those groups, shaloi shilshu. In other words, what is the machlekas really between Rebbe and the Chachamim? Well, what is the estate of this machlekas? According to the Chachamim, when you get to Shmini Atzeres, we're not forgetting. Sukkos. It's the continuation of Sukkos. So listen, 22 out of 24 groups had a third go. So according to the Chachamim, fair is fair. It makes sense that one of those two remaining groups should get to do the power on Shmini Atzeres. Which one? We have no way to discern which one, so we'll do a pious. Whereas according to Rebbe, it's not true. According to Rebbe, we don't say that one of those two groups should do the power. Rather, what do we say?
Start all over again.
So our mission says you do a pious. Kasal kadate, we thought that what does that mean, do a pious? Who goes into the hat?
All 24.
That only fits in with Rebbe, not the Chachamim. Says Rashi that no. According to the Rabbanon, lav afusei bo'i? Bain, Shtehen, between these two groups, Eza, Mehen, Tizke, Boy, who will be the one to be Zoicha to do this power? Therefore, even though the Rabbonon disagree vehemently with Rebbe and they say you don't put all 24 names in the hat, but they also say you've got to put something in the hat, because how else are you going to decide which one of the two should get their power? The Dilma, and therefore we can suggest that perhaps, Hahu Pious, the Komar Masnisin, comma, that pious which is mentioned in the Mishnah, what does it mean? It doesn't mean as you initially thought, that was the Salkadati. It doesn't mean as you initially thought, i.e., all 24 groups, but rather, what does it mean? Rather, it means Bain Shtein Hoyo. Just means you do a geirul to decide between these two. What's the one that's just finished? The Rashi, the holoi tnan bei, because it doesn't say in the Mishnah the word bitchilo. What is the word? excuse me. What does the word bitchilo mean?
Go back to the beginning.
You go back to the beginning. The Mishnah doesn't say that. If it doesn't say that, it's inconclusive. So if we have every right to at least suggest. We can't prove it. But we have every right to suggest that maybe when the Mishnah says you do a pious and didn't stipulate anything about bitchila, so it could very happily mean that what? Who goes into the hat? Just these two groups. Initially we thought do a pious, now probably means you start all over afresh. So Rashi's pointing out, it doesn't say bitchila. If it would have said the word bitchila in the Mishnah, then it would have been discussion closed. Why? Because bitchila clearly means it's not all over again, that would only fit in with Rebbe. Fine. So the more light, Keman Ozla. Paul the Tanya. Who does the following Brysa go with? Which opinion is the following Brysa? It says, Kol Hamishmorais, Shoinois, Umashalshois. All groups have a second go. And then a third go, chutz mishnei mishmorois, except for two groups, sheshoinois. They have a second go, ve'im shalshois. Now, who is that talking? Neima Rebbe veloy rabbonon. Let us suggest that also only fits in with Rebbe and not with the rabbonon. Why is it better according to Rebbe than according to rabbonon? How do you understand the Gemara's question? It says in the Braisa that every Mishmor has two goes. In fact, has three goes, except for two. That only fits in with Rebbe and not the Chachamim. Why? So according to the Chachamim, what should they have said in the Braisa? You're right. Only one is ruled out, not two. According to the Chachamim, 23 out of the 24 Mishmaris will have a third go. So how can the Braisa say that everybody has a third go except for two? According to Rabbanon, it's except for one. Now, 1 second. You just really have to add. It's not great according to Rebbe either. Because according to Rebbe, somebody might get full. But I guess what the Gemara means to suggest is, you're right, because we don't know who it is, so for absolute certain, we can say that 22 groups have 3 goes and 2 don't. What about the last one? That's open. But according to Rabbanon, it's not open. It's Vadai, 23, not 22. 23 groups will have a third chance. So why does it only say 24 minus 2? Says the Gemara, no, it's not conclusive either. Afilu tema Rabbonon. You can even suggest that this follows the opinion of the Rabbonon. And what does it mean? My loy shilshu, quote unquote. What did it mean when it says in the Braisa that what? That two groups didn't have a third chance? The pori ha. It's about Sukkot. Underline the word chag. We're not talking about Shemini Atzeres. It's true. If you look at all 8 days altogether, then you'd be right that what? That there's only actually one unfortunate group that missed out having a third chance. We're not talking about that. We're talking about Sukkot. And on Sukkot, it's 100% true to say that 22 out of the 24 had a third chance, but 2 didn't. Umay kamash malon. So what exactly are we being taught in this braisa? Hakamash malon. What we're being taught is the chiddush of the Mishnah, which is the what? Mi shehikriv porim hayoim lo yakriv lemochar erachayzrin chalila. That is, of course, a word for word quote from the Mishnah. That, remember, before we learned the Mishnah, you would have been excused for thinking, but listen, the 13, 12, 11, I don't know, maybe somebody's going to end up doing 7 parim or 6. What did the Mishnah teach me? That no, we carefully organized it, that nobody did more than anybody else. Except when we got to the end, and somebody's going to have to lose out. Bad luck. That's what this Bryce is pointing out as well. When the Bryce says, everybody had 3 goes, except for 2 groups that only had 2 goes, what the Bryce is in fact teaching me is the Chiddush of the Mishnah. I.e., don't think that when you got to the second day and the third day and the fourth day, everybody goes back into the hat, we're all sorts over again. It doesn't. Rather, you continue from where you left off. We said, yes, you have the 13 Mishmaris, and you start from number 14, and you go through the cycles again and again and again. Says Rashi, Umay Kamash Malon, what exactly is the Chiddush of this Braisa V'chi Minyono Asa La'agmarinon? Question mark. Is that what the Braisa is coming to teach me? Just the numbers? I can work out numbers myself. Shekein Oila HaCheshven. That this is how the cheshbon comes out, kashachoizrin chalila, when you go through the whole cycle. Is that what the Braisa is coming to teach me? Numbers? I can work out numbers myself. It says, Rashi, no, Mashani, the Gemara answers, Kamash Malon. What we're being taught is, my da'ashmi'ino nami, that which was taught as well, Tana de Masnisin. So we're not being taught the numbers, we're being taught the principle. I.e., Mishaya Makra Porim Ayoim, etc., etc., then you wouldn't do tomorrow. So this wasn't just merely a useful braisa to help you add up the numbers. Once I know the principle that if you were Makra B'Para today, then you didn't do it tomorrow, I can work out the mathematics myself, and I know I'll reach the inescapable conclusion that what? That everybody had 3 turns except for 2. That's not what the braisa is coming to teach me. I can work out the numbers myself. So what is the price that comes to teach me? Not the numbers, but rather the principle that leads me to the numbers. What is the principle? That whoever sacrificed a parrot today does not have another go tomorrow. Now it's true, we were taught this in the Mishnah already, but very often we find that a price that repeats the Chiddush of the Mishnah. Just that the Gemara was unhappy if the entire Chiddush of the price was just to work out the numbers for me. I mean, I can work it out myself, I have a calculator at home. The answer is, the Braisa is not coming to work out the numbers. The Braisa is here to tell you that the reason why the numbers are this way is because of a very important principle which we need to teach you. It happens to be the Mishnah. Also taught us this principle. So the more...
Does the Rabban not hold by Chavah?
They do. They do. They do.
Even with this principle of...
Oh, I see. With regards to Pius, you said. Pius.
Yeah.
Right. Good point. It's only according to Rabbi that you can say that it's really a chag above the Pius when you start the Pius all over again. Yep. Excellent point. Very good point. Very fair point. Okay. Something more. Omar, Rabbi Elozo, Hani, Shivim, Porim, Keneged, Mi. As we mentioned yesterday already, these 70 Porim, who do they correspond? Who do they correspond to? Keneged, Shivim, Umois. The 70 nations of the world. And Par Yechidi. What about the singular par that we sacrificed on Shemini Atzeres? Loma. Why is that just one? Keneged Umo Yechido. It's Keneged the singular nation, i.e. Klal Yisrael. Moshel Melech Basar Vadom. Imagine you have a Moshel, a human king. Sha'omar La'avodov Asuri Suda Gedela. Make a big Suda. Why did you do a big Suda for the Avodim? Because you have lots of Avodim, and rather than making their own individual party, he just bunches them all together in one, because they're not that important to him. So you just make one big party for everybody. But Le'yoyim Acharoi, what does he do on the last day? Omar La'oy Havoi. Not to his slave, but rather to the person he loves, or with you, I want to make a separate party. Aseli Suda Katano, make me a small party, Kadesha Ehen and Mimcha, that I can enjoy your company. So too over here, rather, we don't look at there are 71 nations in the world. No, there are 70 plus one. That's why the plus one has its own special party, and that's what we call Shemini Atzeres. No. Shivim Umos of the Goyim plus us. Says Rashi. Shivim Porim, Pore Achag, Shivim Heim. There are 70 altogether. Chutz Mishel Shmini. Besides for the singular one bought on Shmini Atzeres, Keneged Shivim Umos. They correspond to the Shivim Umos. Now, what does it mean they correspond? So Rashi learns, Lechaper Aleihem, in order to atone for them, Sheyerdu Geshomim b'chol ha'olam, so that water, rain, should fall in the entire world. Lefisha nidoinim b'chag al hamoyim, because on Sukkot is the chag that where we what are we judged for? Water. That's how we have the tefillah of Mashu Baruch and we're in Agoshim. So if this is a time of year where we're deciding, as it were, Hamish Baruch is deciding Kaviyachol who's going to get water, so in order to get water, you have to be zaycha to it in order to have rainfall. So they first have a kapora. Who has to have a kapora? Absolutely everybody in the entire planet Earth, in order to be zaycha to their rainfall. So we, as it were, sacrifice the atoning cow on behalf of the Shivim Umos. Says Rashi, Par Yechidi Shoshmini. The Par Yechidi, the singular Par, is on the eighth day. The Melech says to the one who he loves, She'ehen emimcho, Ein li hanoyo v'koyras ruach. I don't really have hanoyo. What does hanoyo mean? Benefit, v'koyras ruach. In other words, nachas ruach. Enjoyment. V'shel elu, with all of the avodim that I previously made a party for. Elo v'shelcho. Only I have company, extra special enjoyment in your company. So that's why I'm making a special small suda for you. That's exactly what's going on with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. Says the Gemara in conclusion, now we have to understand this line. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Oy lohem lo'idei kichovim. Woe unto the Goyim,
she'avdu ve'en yoidin ma she'avdu. What does that mean? They've lost,
and they don't know what
they've lost out. So what does that mean? Vizman she'beis hamikdash kayom, at the time when the beis hamikdash was standing, mizbeach mechaper aleihem, the mizbeach atones for them. But now mi mechaper aleihem. In other words, when they had the beis hamikdash, he had the mizbeach, gemakriv korbanos, even though it wasn't then, but it was Klal Yisrael, and in that zechuros they had rainfall. But nowadays, when there is no beis hamikdash, how are they going to be atoned for? Now, what is the obvious question on this gemara? Oh, why is Klal Yisrael any better? We've also lost the Beis HaMikdash. So Rav Nachum, yeah, you agree to the question. How come Gemara say, oh, well, onto the going, they've lost the Beis HaMikdash, they don't realize it. They used to have Mizbeach and now they don't. We also used to have Mizbeach and now we don't. So you're suggesting that at least we have Tefillah. As it says, Neshalma Porim Sfosin. Right, Neshalma Porim Sfosin. We can pay Porim. How so? This Sfosin with our lips.
It really goes back on the Pasuk, because the Pasuk says they didn't know what they meant. They didn't even know that they were being atoned for when there was.
It's not a Pasuk, yes. It's the Brisa.
Yeah,
the other answer could be the greatest tragedy is to lose something and not know you've lost it. You know, the tragic moshel, very tragic, painful moshel. I mentioned it in the Parashah once or twice. Imagine somebody young passes away and you come to the base ovil and you see the young mourning husband and his young children. What's the saddest moment? The saddest moment is not necessarily when you see them crying sitting on the floor. The saddest moment is when you see a 2-year-old playing with his Lego in the corner with not a care in the world. That in a way is the saddest moment, because he's lost his mother and has no idea what he's lost. That's even sadder. So maybe that's what it means over here. The goyim are not even aware what they've lost. We at least were aware. We would mourn for the Beis HaMikdash. We done for the Beis HaMikdash. We were far away. A third teretz might be, this is based on a pasuk that we read on Shabbos, Zois Teiras Ha'oilo. Says the Gemara very famously in Menachos, Zois Teiras Ha'oilo. If you learn the Torah of the Oilo, it is as if you have sacrificed the Oilo. When you learn the Beis HaMikdash. In fact, the Gemara says so clearly, the Gemara says that Avraham Avinu asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what's going to be with my children if they stray and they do Averis? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he did the Bris Bein Habsarim, he says, take an eagle and a bird. This was the correspondence of the Karbonos. But even if your children commit Averis, but they will have recourse, as it were, through the process of Karbonos. Avraham Avinu asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's all fine and well, when they have a Beis HaMikdash, but what will they do if they don't have a, when they don't have a Beis HaMikdash? The Kodesh Baruch Hu says, well, then they will learn the halachas of the Karbonos. So it could be therefore that what? That's what the Gemara means. The Goyim, once they've lost their Mizbeach, they really are doomed. But we, either have Tefillah or we can learn the halachas. I mentioned this once in the Parashah, maybe more than once. When Chazal say that when you sacrifice, when you learn the halachas of Karbonos, it's as if you've sacrificed them, I once saw a tshuva in the Chikrei Lev. Chikrei Lev is one of the great Sephardi poskim. He has tens of volumes of tshuvas. And he takes this so seriously that he in fact considers the following. It seems almost incredible. But he has a whole tshuva discussing it. He says, imagine that somebody would commit an avera, for which he has to, let's say, bring a chatos. Okay, well, he can't. Why can't he? Because there's no Beis HaMikdash. So, Chazal tell us, fine, if he learns the halachas of the chatos, that is tantamount to sacrificing the chatos. So he sits down and he learns the halachas, and that way he has accrued an atonement.
So the Chikrei Lev discusses what would be now if the Beis Hamikdash is rebuilt. Would he have to go and bring that Chatos now? In other words, he takes this line of Chazal so seriously that it's not just poetic license. He actually entertains the possibility that you really have an atonement and there'll be no further necessity to bring a Chatos at all, because you've already got your Chapar. As it happens, he brings two proofs that you would have to bring a Chatos at the end of the day. But the very fact that he discusses it is enough of a Chiddush for me. Because if you would have asked me, I would have said the face in this story just means it's as if, but of course it's not the real deal. It's poshut. According to the Chikrei Lev, it's not so poshut. So either way, maybe that's what our Gemara means over here, that the Goyim have lost the Mizbeach, which brought about their Kapara, but that's it, they have no further recourse. Then Davan, there's no Nishal Moporim Sfosteinu with the Goyim, they can't learn the Halachas, at least we can learn the Halachas. Somebody once came to the Chazon Ish. He said, I'm learning Kochim, I'm learning all the halachas of Karbonis. There are so many tens of thousands of halachas. Karbonis is extremely, extremely complicated. So he said to the Chazainish, he says, I'm scared. Imagine Mashiach will come today. We'll have to be makrib Karbonis. We wouldn't know what to do. So impossibly complicated. Chazainish, Beroiv Chachmosai, Beroiv Anova. To his utmost humility, he answered back. He says, I think I could pass the halachas of Korbanos. Chazon Ish, amongst many other incredible mailers, wrote his chidushim b'chol ha-Torah kulo. There is no area of Torah whatsoever that Chazon Ish did not write on. All in the same style. Chidushim Torah, every line. Have a look where the Chazon Ish there, it's on the bottom shelf there, 7 or 8 volumes. If he would have written in the same style as most others before him are written, it would be a 30-volume work. But he writes with utmost brevity. Very, very good. That's a very hard sefer to learn. Chazon Ish is a very difficult sefer to learn. Because even though every word is meduik, it's written beautifully, but he's not marish. He doesn't explain, and they're very, very, very brief. But he's got chidushim b'chol ha-Torah kula. There's no less depth than what he wrote in Kodshim and Taharos, even though it's not the Gel Halacha, and some parts of Zroim, and then he's got the entire Kutresim on Kiddush HaChodesh, which are the most intricate, most difficult halachas, Rambam. He's got the entire Kuntresim there on the date line. There isn't a topic in B'kola Torah Kula that the Chazon Ish didn't take on. The more complicated, the Chazon Ish took it on. The yes is the ace, the yes is the clear. Phenomenal work. So when this person asked the Chazon Ish, you know, what would we do in Pasuk and Kodshim, as far as the Chazon Ish is concerned, what do you mean? If you can ask me your Shaila, and says Muksa, and what brocha to make on chocolate, you can also ask me how to be Makrib or Chatas or Eif. You didn't see any difference whatsoever. That was the great Chazon Ish, Shalom Kivon Chaim. Okay, let's make a start to the next Mishnah. The last daf in Sukkot. Just for a few more minutes, I have to leave early. The bris. Is there a Gemara there, Sukkot?
It's yesterday.
No.
It was yesterday. It wasn't yesterday.
There was or there wasn't?
There was.
Yeah.
Second to the right.
No.
Yeah?
No. It's much worse. Nachum, you know about that, no? You know more about that.
No, it's not required.
Zot the Mishnah. Bishloisha Prokim Vashana Hoyu Kol Mishmores Shavis. There were 3 Prokim. What does Prokim mean?
Times.
Why does Prokim mean time? 100% right. Rashi says, Begimel Prokim, Beshloisha Regolim, the 3 Yom Tovim. Why does Perek mean time? What does Perek really mean?
A chapter.
A chapter, it's a division. That's the real translation. Proik Yas Onoch. Yukum Purukon, a redeem. When you redeem somebody, you are taking him out of servitude. That's why you're making a division. Here he is enveloped, swallowed up by the enemy. Kumpurkam. Perek is a chapter, it's a division. So the Shloisha Prokim, time by its very nature, is a division.
B'shleisha prakim b'shana hayu kol mishmores shavos. What does it mean, kol mishmores shavos? All mishmores were equal. Now, do you remember we said yesterday, the 24 mishmores, each one had his turn, he was there for a week. So basically, pretty much it worked out, you had 2 weeks a year, plus minus. Three occasions, namely, Shalosh Regalim, they were all there. Why were they all there? Because of all the Klal Yisrael were there. So we said in the last Mishnah that on a normal week, whatever happens in the Beis HaMikdash is their domain. Whichever Kohen happens, whichever group happens to be officiating that week, they
belong to them.
They belong to them. Whether it's the mitzvah of the Hakrova or the Achila of the Karbonos. When it comes to the Shalosh Regalim, what's the halacha then? So we differentiated. We said those korbanos which are Yom Tov related, then that is the responsibility of who? Everybody. And that's why we have the whole last Mishnah. So how do you split the 13 Korim and the 14 Kvasim? And you've got to find ways of splitting it up. Because whichever group happens to be officiating that week, because after all, the week of Yom Tov is no different to any other week of the year. There was one group that was in charge of officiating, but what would they officiate over?
Non-Yom Tov.
Non-Yom Tov related. For example, the Tomei Shel Shach. Tomei Shel Shach has nothing to do with Yom Tov whatsoever. It was brought every single day of the year without fail. That's why it's called Tomid, frequent. That would be the responsibility of the officiating Mishmar. So normally, under ordinary circumstances, you wouldn't say Kol HaMishmores Shavos. They were all equal. They're absolutely not equal. Because whoever was there, they took responsibility and no one else. On three occasions, all the Mishmores were equal. I.e. on Yom Tovim. But with regard to what? Says the Mishnah, Be'emurei HaRegalim. Now that word should immediately set the alarm bells going. Emurei Regalim is a very, very difficult word. We had in the last sugya, or two sugyas ago, Emurim are the chelik of the korban that goes on the Mizbeach. It doesn't go to the Kohenim at all. So what does it mean, Be'emurei Regalim? Says Rashi immediately. Be'emurei Regalim, Ba'oirais Shel Oilois. An oila is, of course, as the name suggests, oila, it's completely sacrificed on the Mizbeach, except for the oira, the skin. So the skin of the oira is, ubechaze, ubeshoik, the stomach and the thigh, shel shalmei chagiga, of the chagiga shlomim, which Rashi immediately points out, haba'ois machmas haregel, which are Yom Tov related korbanos, oila sachag, shalmei chagiga. Now Rashi concludes, Uba Gemara Mefarish, the Gemara will explain, my Loshen Emurim, quote unquote, Diktani. What is the Loshen Emurim that is stated? Now we apply our regular rule. Whenever Rashi says the Gemara Mefarish, what does that mean? That is the problem, it's an obvious difficulty. What is the obvious difficulty? As we just explained, Emurim is normally translated as the parts of the korban that go on his bears. Well, in that case, it doesn't go to the Kohenim at all. That's obviously what was bothering Rashi. We saw that book on Purim. What's bothering Rashi? That's what's bothering Rashi. Rashi is bothered by, why do you call this Emurim? Why, if it does say Emurim, Emurim doesn't go to the Kohenim, it goes Kaviyachol to the Rabbeinu Shlomo on his bears. So Rashi has sort of answered the question by saying it's not referring to that. It's referring to those parts that do go to the Kohenim, i.e. the skin of the oilois, the chazav sheik of the shalmi chagiga. But Rashi says in conclusion, you're probably wondering to yourself, quite rightly, why then is it called a murim? Says Rashi, good question, the Gemara will deal with it. So we leave it there. So that is one area of avodah, where all the mishmores are shavos. If you have the chazei v'sheik of the shalmei chagiga, who gets to eat it? The answer is, all of the mishmores will have to divide it up equally. Ubechiluk lechem aponim. And also with regard to dividing the lechem aponim. Now again, on a regular Shabbos, who ate the lechem aponim?
Two groups.
We'll discuss it tomorrow. But either way, it wasn't all the mishmores. It was the outgoing or the incoming group.
But when you're talking about, as Rashi immediately points out, to the chiluk lechem aponim, im ira Shabbos beregel, when Shabbos put out on Yom Tov, then what would happen? Shabbos Shabbos nasal kinoisoi. On Shabbos they would remove it, meaning the lechem, umasadrin lechem acher tachtov, and they would organize new bread in the place of the old. Kedekseiv, as it says, b'yoyim haShabbos ya'archenu. It says on Yom HaShabbos, that's when you set it all up. So when it comes to the lechem haponim, which is not a korban as such, that's also unlike Shabbos during the course of the year when the officiating group of kohenim, they were the ones who were zeicha to the lechem haponim. We will discuss in the Gemara what does that mean exactly. The incoming group, the outgoing group, but it certainly wasn't all the mishmaros. However, on Yom Tov, then the lechem haponim was divided between all of the mishmaros. How exactly that would work, how you split up 12 pieces of bread, or 12 breads amongst 24 groups, maybe we'll have to discuss when we see the Gemara. So either way, when did this happen? Three times a year. Pesach and Sukkot, obviously always has a Shabbos in it, but Shavuos, if it just so happened to land out on Shabbos, then the lechem haponim would be divided equally amongst all 24 mishmaros who were there in the Beis Hamikdash. Okay, we'll have to hold it here. Excuse me, let's make an early finish of a bris. So Mr. Hashem, on Thursday we'll reconvene, and I'd really like to make a push towards this Mishnah. I don't think we'll get all the way to the Mishnah, but as close as we can, and then hopefully I'll ask you because Monday to finish the parak.